as Rachel shared with us just a few minutes ago, God with us brings peace into our lives. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, is this idea of the gift of peace that God brings to us. And I know that for each one of us, as we envision what peace looks like, if we were to create an image in our mind, it would look different. My vision of peace, your vision of peace. For some of you, you saw Rachel and I's vision of peace several years ago when we sent out this Christmas card. That's our vision of peace. The kids duct taped mouths and tied up with Christmas lights. Probably not the same vision of peace that some of you have. There's a story that's told of a king, and the king in his land had a contest. And the contest was for artists to submit pictures of peace. And then he was going to choose which one won, was the best representation of peace. So the first, he had hundreds of pictures that came in that had been painted, and he was able to whittle it down to two. And when he whittled it down to two, there were very contrasting pictures. The one was this, it was a picture of this beautiful lake. Not a breeze in the air, it was perfectly clear, crystal clear on the top of the lake. You could see the reflection of the mountains right behind the lake. You could almost hear the water trickling down little waterfalls as you look at this picture. There is a beautiful blue sky. There was a part of the picture with nice, big, white, puffy clouds and birds flying through it. Just this beautiful, calming picture. The other picture that was up against it was kind of the opposite. Again, it was at a lake, but it was windy and you could see whiteheads in the waves that were coming. You could see the waterfall roaring down the side of a mountain. You could see the dark clouds and the lightning that was striking in the distance. But in that picture, you could also see, if you looked closely, just to the side of the white or the waterfall, you could see a little bird nest with a mama bird sitting on that nest. That is the one that the king chose as the winner for this picture of peace. And in his explanation as to why that one is the winner, he said this. He said, "Peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, and hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still calm your heart." That's the real meaning of peace. To be in the midst of chaos, to be in the midst of the hecticness, but to still sense and feel peace in our hearts. Today is the third Sunday, or the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we're going to take a look at this idea of God with us brings peace to us. God with us brings peace to us. Paul writes about peace often in the New Testament. One spot that he writes about peace that we're going to look at today is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it's known as the fruits of the Spirit. And in those verses, Paul talks about this list of characteristics that God desires to produce in you and in me, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. So I want you to turn with me, Galatians chapter 5. It's going to be page 826 in the church Bibles. We're just going to look at these two verses this morning. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Wouldn't it be great to really be at peace? To close your eyes and to be alone with your heart and not feel scattered, not feel hectic, not feel hurried, not feel stretched, but rather to feel calm, to feel solid, to feel centered, to feel it is well with my soul. Wouldn't it be great to wake up in the morning and to just instantly smile, welcoming the day ahead, no matter what you know is on the schedule, no matter how busy the schedule is or how difficult some things are on your schedule, because deep in your soul, you're at peace with yourself and with your life. Wouldn't it be great to have some difficult or painful things hurling towards you, but instead of reacting, to know that God walks with you and to have the assurance of His peace in those times? Wouldn't it be great to really, truly, honestly be at peace? That's the peace that Jesus came to bring us. That's what God promises will be our experience if we will walk with Jesus and allow Him to be our Savior and our Lord and the Lord of our lives. Sounds good, right? I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at that kind of peace this morning. So honestly, I think it's interesting that peace is often something that we talk about during the Christmas season, because it seems like a good idea, but at the same time, it really contrasts the busyness of our lives at this time of year. Celebrating Jesus' birth has turned into such this big, busy, hectic deal that it makes this concept of peace seem like it's almost impossible. Last few weeks and next few days if you haven't started your Christmas shopping. So much to do in this season. So many things to buy. Maybe you have a list of things that you're still going to bake. So many things to be a part of. The Christmas parties, the gatherings, the family expectations. If we look around us, it isn't peace that we see, but it's kind of this frantic, stressed out, overburdened people rushing around everywhere, creating conflict as they strive for some ideal version of this holiday. Peace, it's a nice idea. It's certainly not a part of most of our lives during the Christmas season. And I realize that isn't a true statement for everybody that's here. But for those of us whom it is true, then we have to ask ourselves this: how do we reconcile that truth of the hecticness and busyness of the season that we're living right now? How do we reconcile that with this fact? Paul tells us that when we live by the Spirit, God produces peace in us. How do we reconcile that? Jesus came to bring peace. But in this season of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, peace seems to be a long way off. It's almost ironic that Jesus chose to enter into this world without fanfare. He chose to enter into this world without extensive preparation, without any of the trappings that you would expect to accompany a royal visit. And yet today, in this moment, the fanfare, the extensive preparation, and all the trappings threaten to overwhelm the basic truth of what we celebrate. Jesus came to earth. God became human. A baby boy born to an unwed mother in an obscure village and laid in an animal feeding trough is the King of the universe. God with us to save us, to forgive us, to love us, and to bring peace to us. That peace can bring an end to the painful, stressful, hectic uncertainties that life offers. We can only find peace like that through Jesus, the child in the manger who would grow into the man who died on the cross. Now, the obvious question that many of us should be asking ourselves is, I have found Jesus. Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of my heart. Why don't I have peace? Take us back to that question again. I believe all of us long to know the peace that Christ offers us. That deep inner conviction that in our very souls would tell us that it is well no matter what the circumstances are. This morning I want us to look at just a few things that I think get in the way as to why we don't experience that peace. What has gone wrong and how might we fix it? Why aren't we experiencing it? And there's really three options as to why we don't experience peace at this point in the season or at different times in our lives. The first option is because God isn't keeping His Word. The second is that Satan has somehow stolen our peace. And the third is we have made choices that keep God from growing that peace within us. Now, in my opinion, I can safely eliminate number one, that God isn't keeping His Word. And the reason I eliminate that is twofold. Number one, I believe God's Word wholeheartedly, 100%. But number two, I have seen God's faithfulness in my own life. I've experienced His faithfulness. So because of the history that I've experienced in my life of God's faithfulness 100% of the time, I eliminate number one for us. So then that leaves us with two others that I want us to look at this morning. The first one is stolen peace. It's the idea that Satan has somehow stolen our peace. Throughout the Scriptures, as we read the Scriptures, it's really clear that there is this evil opposition to God and to the kingdom of God. And the center of that battleground, that opposition to God, the center of that battleground is in our hearts, your heart and mine. In our hearts. You are so valuable to God that He would enter into this incredibly costly battle to win your heart and to win your love. John Eldridge says this. He says, "The birth of Christ was an act of war, an invasion. The enemy knew it and tried to kill Him as a baby." The birth of Christ was an act of war, was an invasion. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 is where Herod instructs those to go out and find that baby, to take care of that baby that was born. Right? It was an invasion, and the enemy knew it and tried to kill the babe. There are lots of teachings in the Bible about what to expect in this battle, this spiritual battle that takes place, and how to protect ourselves. We also find just this constant assurance throughout Scripture that evil has already been defeated. Yet we continue to fight until the day when victory is finished. And in the meantime, we expect that our peace will have to be fought for as well. We need to understand that we are in this spiritual battle that it's fought for our hearts and for our souls and for the hearts and the souls of everybody that you know. It almost sounds like it's the opposite of peace. If we're at war, then how can we be at peace? The two things oppose each other. This idea of war and peace. We can be at peace, I'm going to suggest, in the middle of the battle because of this. The peace which Jesus brings is not, at least in this age, in this time, an external peace. It's an internal peace. It's not an absence of the external battle. It's the depth of our souls knowing who God is and who we are as God's children. And thus, knowing peace in whatever situations we find ourselves in. It's not the picture of the calm glassy lake with the reflection of the mountains in it. It's the picture of the stormy situation with the bird on the nest. In the midst of the external battle, Satan is going to do everything possible to upset us, to knock our feet out from under us, to cause us to question God and be suspicious and negative and difficult with other people, to turn our focus away from God and onto anything else besides God. And in doing so, it steals our peace, upsets us, and hurts us. That, I believe, is one of the two options as to why we may not be experiencing peace right now or at times in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. But as I said, there's a second one that I want us to look at as well. And that second one is this: we may not be experiencing peace because of our own choices. We may not be experiencing peace because of our own choices. This is one of those ones that requires us to take a true look into ourselves, a true look into who we are and the choices that we make. We are certainly in the middle of a spiritual battle, which we just talked about. Yet, I think maybe almost more often, we lack peace because of the choices that we choose to make in our lives. Every day we have choices to make. And oftentimes, many of those choices either please God or dishonor God. I don't say this to be harsh or condemning at all, but it's a simple fact that the choices that we make in our lives, they cannot create peace. But the choices that we make in our lives, I believe, can keep God from growing peace within us. Keep God from growing peace within us. I believe that we cannot create the kind of peace that we're talking about this morning. This peace that goes through any situation and circumstance. But we can prevent God from creating it. So what kind of choices can take our peace from us? What kind of choices can leave us feeling hopeless at times in life? At the very top of the list, I think there's this one: choosing to spend time in lots of ways, except allowing God to mold us and create all the fruits of the Spirit within us. It's a priority issue for many of us. Now don't shoot the messenger here, but we've gotten so busy. And then we squeeze God out of our lives. We just shove Him to the side just for a moment in regards to our priority list. And then, when something doesn't go the way we had planned or hoped or dreamed or whatever the case is, we wonder where God is and why we aren't seeing more of His power and goodness in our lives. Maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you've shoved God off the top priority place in your life. Maybe it's something you need to choose to get right with God this morning. I also believe that close to the top of that list is how we have reacted to the pain that comes from living in this world. And here's what I mean by that. We have been hurt. We've been wounded, sometimes even crushed, as we've lived this life. It's just that is a part of life. There's hardship in life. It's an unfortunate part of our lives here on earth, but it is a part, and we can't avoid it. God's great desire is to come and to comfort, to come and to heal, to come and to perform surgery, in a sense, to get us, to get the poison out of us, to make us whole, to make us healthy, and to give us peace again. And more often than not, we don't run to God to heal us in those times. Instead, we turn away from God. We bury the pain and we try to learn to cope with the pain instead of allowing God to heal us of the pain. And we don't have peace because we've taken this hurt and we've buried it deep instead of turning to God and asking Him to walk with us through it and to grant us peace in the midst of it. Also, sometimes we've made deliberate choices that reject God. Again, I think this is one that we really need to examine ourselves on this morning. Where are we at with this one? He is called, perhaps, in your life. He's called, and you've maybe said no to Him. We've known an act was wrong, but we went ahead and we cheated anyways, or we lied anyways, or we gossiped anyways. In Paul's words, we've given in to the hostility, the quarreling, the jealousy, the outburst of anger, the selfish ambition, divisions. We've given in to envy and to drunkenness. We've given in to these things among all the others that Paul lists. So we don't have this inner peace because we're not right with God. And honestly, we shouldn't have inner peace if that's where we're at today. We shouldn't have inner peace if we are not right with God. The lack of peace, honestly, I think it helps us to recognize that something is wrong. Something needs to be made right. Something needs forgiven. Something needs to be saved, perhaps. Many people are fighting this lonely battle against the God who is offering reconciliation and peace. We've got to choose to stop fighting God. See, spiritual peace, it's within each of our grasps. And it's essential to us. Being at peace with God precedes all other peace. It's not like any other peace that we can receive. We will never know peace on earth until we realize that sin has separated us from God and we decide to do something about that. We decide to ask for forgiveness. We decide to repent. So let me bring us back now to this idea of Jesus. And what we're talking about today is the baby Jesus. The hope that it brings. This baby was born to die, born so that our sins might be forgiven. This baby that was born so that we might be filled with peace, the peace of God, through Jesus Christ. Here's what I want us to remember today. Here, I think, is kind of the take-home of today. God is passionate about you. God loves you so deeply that He would send His Son to die for each one of us so that we could be forgiven, so that you and I can be set free. The truth is that we live in Jesus and we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We will be filled, when we do that, we will be filled with good things, including the peace of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace comes to us through the birth of Jesus Christ and the decision that we make, the choice that we make to follow Him with our lives. We must stand firm against the devil. We must continually choose to let God in, to give God space and priority in our lives. We must allow God into our pain that we go through in life, the hurts and the disappointments. Allow God into all of that. We must confess our sins and receive God's incredible gift of forgiveness. And then we receive the peace that God offers to us through Jesus Christ. We receive God's peace when we live a life that is pleasing and honoring and glorifying to God. So I ask you this morning, where are you at? Where are you at in these areas of life? Are you keeping God as the top priority in your life? Or if He's somehow unintentionally, or maybe intentionally, been bumped out of that spot? Have you gone to God when you're going through disappointments? Have you gone to God when you've been hurt or when you feel pain in life? Or do you just try to cope with it yourself? Do you just try to say, you know what, this is just the way it's going to be and I need to be stronger on my own and just push on through this? So when we make those decisions, we're not going to experience God's peace. Are you making choices that glorify and honor God? When you have a choice to make, and we all have dozens or hundreds of them every given day, when that choice is a choice that either honors God or doesn't honor God, are you choosing to honor God? Are you choosing to follow God, to follow His Word? And sometimes that's the hard choice. But our faithfulness is required if we're going to experience the true peace of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this time of worship. We thank You, Lord God, for the hope of peace that You bring to us through Jesus Christ. Lord God, I would pray that You would help each one of us to make You a priority in this life. And that can be so difficult. Time is such a precious thing to each one of us. And how we use it is so important. And Lord God, help us perhaps to reevaluate how we're using the time that You've given to us to make sure that You're a priority. Help us to turn to You with our disappointments, our pains, and our hurts, to come to You and to ask for Your strength, for Your courage to get through those times. Help us to come to You and ask for Your peace in the midst of those times. And then, Lord God, help us to make choices that will please and honor and glorify You, as opposed to choices that will drive a wedge between us and affect the peace that we feel. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.